Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Events with Benefits, a podcast designed specifically with the intent of helping your organization raise more money. My name is Danny Hooper. I'm a professional fundraising auctioneer, and I'm joined here today by two of my good friends, Renee from Donation Match, Ian Loth, the Director of Marketing at Winspire. And in fact, we're coming to you from the world headquarters of Winspire today in beautiful Orange County, California. And wow, do we have a guest on today's show? This is going to be unbelievable.
Yes, we're very happy to welcome Noah McMahon, a philanthropist and, you know, lifetime worker in the nonprofit space here. He's just had a meteoric rise over the years, raising hundreds of millions of dollars and really helping nonprofits, you know, kind of in mostly in Southern California, but around the United States, make a much greater impact and achieve huge things. He's a personal mentor of mine, greatly respect him, and he has some very, very good information for you guys here today.
Great, and thank you, Ian, for introducing Noah to us and to our listeners. I was really impressed with what Noah has to share about goal setting, mindset, and of course, being a true connector and relationships. He has some really good advice for all of us.
And throughout the podcast today, Noah's going to be answering questions that we hear very often posed to us by our listeners, folks in the nonprofit space.
As far as relationship building, Danny, I'd be interested to know, I mean, you've been to so many events and you know that so much of these events are about relationship building. What have you seen all out there?
Well, you stated it correctly. They are about relationship building, but that is something that, surprisingly, very few nonprofit organizations do a good job of. And as a result, we see from year to year, often the wheels will fall off the cart, so to speak, and lots of times, organizations, when they're having an event, year to year, they're having to reinvent themselves and start from the ground up, not realizing that things would be so much easier if they did invest a little more effort, a little more time in developing quality relationships. Surprisingly, not as hard to do as what we all might think it is. And to find out some of the secrets from a man who is an absolute expert in creating relationships, let's join Noah McMahon right now. So our special guest this morning, Noah McMahon, the founder of a company called Anonymous, based here in Southern California. Noah, you've got a fascinating background going back many, many years, and you've got some ties to the White House. So maybe you can just start here by giving us a little bit of your background and the experience you've had with some great U.S. presidents.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Danny. I've been very fortunate to have a bunch of very interesting experiences. And when I was very young, was given the opportunity to work with President Nixon when he was in the last few years of his life. I had an office at the Nixon Presidential Library and got to have all sorts of amazing experiences and was very involved in the planning of his funeral in 1994. But since then, have been able to help a few different presidents doing advance work, and recently been fortunate to do a few things to help the White House, which has been a big honor. So I've certainly done more than I ever expected to do, and the office of the president is something that's always intrigued me. So that's been something I've been fortunate to spend time with.
And I know that you have built your business around relationships. That must have given you some incredible opportunities back in those early years to establish some incredible relationships with some very interesting and influential people.
It sure did. In the early 90s, when I was based at the Nixon Library, I ended up meeting more people than I could have ever expected. It was truly amazing, and I was fortunate many times to be asked by those people to help with projects, and one thing always led to the other. I often describe relationships like a web in a good way, and it's unbelievable how if you treat everybody well and treat everybody with respect and don't expect anything in return, you end up getting so much in return because they remember you. And I found that it's actually a minority group. The people who are high achievers and work really hard and stay after 5 o'clock at night in the office, we are an exception. And so for people who work really hard, they get noticed. And that's sort of the story of my young life, is being very fortunate to be noticed by some really wonderful people, from CEOs to leaders in different industries and celebrities and athletes. And I was asked by many of them to help with other projects. So I'm certainly no smarter than anyone else, but I've done a lot of favors for people. And for some reason, it all comes back and helps you. But I think the trick is making sure you don't expect anything in return.
So what is it exactly, Noah, that you do today in the not-for-profit space or the fundraising space?
A couple of things. I probably spend 80% of my time helping private foundations, folks who give money away. And what I have found is that it's a changing business, as different types of populations have philanthropic dollars. They have different expectations for what it can do. So the majority of my time is spent with folks who give money away. And it's unbelievable, because they're in a position to really change the world. I'm sort of on a mission to help people understand that philanthropy is the true way to make the world a better place, and more so than politics, more so than so many other things. But philanthropy is something that truly enables so many things to happen. It enables innovation. It enables entrepreneurialism. It enables science. There's so many amazing things that philanthropy can do. So that's where I spend all my time. For the last 15 years or so, I've probably spent more time, though, in the event business, and have learned a lot about event fundraising, and have spent a whole bunch of time there. But it was that sort of led me to the grant making and philanthropic side of things.
And what are some of the major events? Let's just talk about some of the big events that you produce through the year.
Over the course of many years, it's actually been thousands of events that we've been fortunate to be involved in, literally thousands, and they've been all types, events that raise no money but build relationships, all the way to events that raise over $10 million. So there's a wide range of things. And a funny thing, though, I probably spend more time now talking people out of doing events than into doing events, because I realize that people haven't completely thought them through. So I do like to challenge people and say, don't plan an event or create an event just for the sake of doing an event, because you think you need to. Really make sure you understand what it is you're trying to achieve. Really start with the end in mind when you do these things. Otherwise, you might regret it.
And once you've done that, once you know what the mission is or what the objective is, where do you go from there? How do you get started?
So like I said, starting with the end in mind is so important. And you know, the first sign of a successful event is having a goal. And it's those events that don't have goals and don't really have a rudder are the ones that probably shouldn't be happening. So once you get to the point where you've determined what you want to achieve with an event, that's the most important place to start. And then from there, when you start with the end in mind, you basically work backwards, in my opinion, and you figure out the best way of getting there. You know, in event fundraising, more than anything, it truly is about building relationships. I personally believe that if you're not raising at least five times as much money from the people who are at your event throughout the rest of the year, then the event's probably not worth doing. That event doesn't need to be the be-all, end-all. It needs to be a place to start. And it needs to be a real genuine place to build relationships with people. So events really are a means to an end. And it's unbelievable what amazing things events can help you create if you are outcome-based and goal-focused. And I could go on and on about successes and mistakes that have been made in events. But like I said, the most important thing is to start with the end in mind and really focus on building relationships, because that's really, at the end of the day, what events are all about.
So let's talk about some of your secrets or tricks of the trade, whatever your techniques and strategies for building enduring and sustainable relationships. And then again, you mentioned here that, you know, if they're not giving at least five times as much as they're going to give at the night of an event, what do you mean by that? And how do we go back to those people that we've established those relationships to get them to give that five times more?
You know, there's one particular that I'm thinking about where there have been guests who have bought tables for $10,000, $25,000, and the event probably generates about $500,000 in net profit. And I can think of about five people who got to meet or basically became introduced to a charity through that event, and all five of those people have now given six or seven figure gifts to that charity. So in other words, although the event itself raises $500,000 a year, the people who go to the event, that's where they learned about the charity. And then once they go on walkthroughs, they get to know the CEO and the development staff. Those same people are introduced to capital campaigns, to annual giving programs, and they become more involved and give at a higher level. So there are many million-dollar donors that have come as a result of events. And again, the event serves a great purpose and it's super important. But if all we're thinking about is what we can get out of their pockets at the event, that's not good enough. We want to build deep, genuine relationships with these people, these donors, so that we can get to know them as an institution and get much more out of the relationship. And again, relationships are definitely not a one-sided concept. That's one of the other mistakes I think that is often made by folks in development, is they only look at what they can get from donors. And what I've learned, and to Danny, to your point about what are the secrets, I've learned that if you focus more on the needs of the donor and really make that the priority, then you're going to be far better off in the future. People give for a reason. And unfortunately, there are so many great causes out there. People aren't just going to give charities money because they're great at what they do. We really have to focus in the development world on how it makes the donors feel. And that could mean everywhere from recognition to the personal fulfillment they get from the donations they make. And one of the most important things is to understand that every single donor is different. There might be one donor who wants their name as big as possible on the side of the building, and another donor who gives the same amount of money that wants to remain anonymous. So we cannot think about what we think is best. We really need to be donor-driven and focus on what's best for the donor. If we really are donor-centric and focus on their needs and their interests as a primary piece of this, then we're going to be far more successful at what we do.
And how do we go about collecting that intelligence?
Listening more than talking. I find that one of the biggest mistakes development people make is they just talk and talk and talk, and they don't realize they should be listening. It's unbelievable how much donors have to say if you just listen. I have been blown away by the stories I hear from donors and the reasons why they're attracted to certain causes. Oftentimes, it was something that happened in their childhood, something that happened to their children. There are a lot of deep personal connections that donors have with causes, and I believe that it's imperative that you understand what those connections are in order to truly get to know a donor. And rather than reading what's in the brochure and talking over and over about what's on the website and all of this, that's super important, but that's a given. I would hope that as a development director, as someone in the fundraising business, I hope that the organization you're working for is excellent, because there are so many excellent organizations out there. But I think that's sort of a prerequisite, that the organization is doing exceptional work. It's then truly understanding the mind of the donor and what their desires are that is truly important and the most important.
Well, Noah, I know that you've produced thousands of events over the years. Many of them raise multi-millions of dollars in a single night, but many of our listeners here on this podcast are going to be very small neophyte organizations just getting started. They're concerned about, how do I get tickets sold to my event? I'm trying to fill a ballroom here with 200, 250 people. Can you just talk to that for a moment? How do we make sure that we get the right bums in the seat, so to speak?
It's a great question. I have rarely been involved in events where you can send out an invitation and sit back and all of a sudden all the seats get sold. That's just not a very common thing. I like to use the term architecture when designing an event. So speaking specifically about the details of an event, I think one of the most important things to do is to create something that's different than what people expect, and it's better than what they expect. Personally, I'm really into food and wine, so chefs who have been on television cooking a meal, that's something I get excited about. Unique venues, going and eating dinner on a farm outdoors where you pick the vegetables and the chefs prepare them right in front of you. Those types of things get me excited. So I think for many people, the event itself needs to be different. So design the event in a way that's going to attract people, and, you know, make it your goal that as soon as the invitations go out, because you've designed such a terrific event, they sell out. But assuming that doesn't happen, it is all about personal connections. And I think what's super important is face-to-face meetings. The telephone is a great thing, but I think that it requires being in front of as many of your donors as possible and talking to them about participating. And again, if you don't have a compelling case to make that the event is better than the next one, then you're going to have a difficult time. So event design is super important, and then face-to-face sales is important. Beyond that, Danny, I think that what you want is everyone that comes to the event should have such a great time that they're begging their friends to come to the next to the event the next time it happens. So again, that goes back to event design and making sure that the experience is unbelievable. In today's world, experiences are king, and we really need to focus on making the experience as good as possible. And there's a lot of different ways of doing it. I was helping with a gala that is related to eating healthy and exercising, a charity that promotes those causes. And the apparel for the gala was workout attire. So people came in workout clothes instead of black ties. And that was a blast because everybody who came to the event had fun with it. It was memorable. It was not expected. And so I encourage unique ideas like that in order to make the event more fun.
What I'm really getting from you, Noah, here is to take the long-term approach.
Definitely, Danny. I think that, you know, one of the challenges with events is that they cost a lot of money in many cases, and it doesn't make as much sense if you take the short-term approach. The whole goal is that if you spend a lot of money on an event, over the course of time, it doesn't matter because the revenue is so high that the expenses are de minimis.
Good. I'm going to circle back here just for a second, just as a reference to some of the smaller organizations out there. We talked about getting their tickets sold to their event, and I'd like you to address a common problem where organizations do table sales, and they think it's good enough just to sell a table to the local car dealer or the local law office. The challenge I see as a fundraising auctioneer when I get up on stage is that very often, and I was at an event here just last week, and it was for a bunch of dentists, dental offices had bought table tickets, but now the tables were filled with support staff and the dental assistants and hygienists, and they were not interested in participating at any monetary level. They were there just for the free chicken dinner. How do we get around that?
Great question. That's a common thing that I see is the people in the room are not necessarily the folks that you want, and that's super important. You know, one of the things that I notice, it's sort of a common, it's something that frustrates me often, is with the advent of social media, people will take a picture of themselves at a charity event all dressed up, and they will post it with a message that says, oh, I'm proud to support such and such charity. You know, the misnomer is that showing up to an event and eating the chicken at the event doesn't mean you're supporting a charity. What I think we need to do from a fundraising perspective is realize that the people who are coming to the event, what we really expect from them and what we need from them is financial support. It's not something to apologize for. But what's so important is in a very specific and intentional way, we need to focus on who is at every table. And there's nothing wrong with saying that to the folks that are buying the table, because almost as important as selling those tables is designing who's sitting at the tables. So I think one of the important things is creating expectations in advance, because, again, if we have a room full of people that are only there to eat the meal but not to participate, then that's not good enough, because the cause, the charity, is really why we're all there, and that's what we need to focus on. It's not just about getting people there to eat dinner.
No, this is Ian Loth here from Windspire. Got a question. I know that you have spoken at length before about, you know, thinking big, you know, thinking with the end in mind, you know, thinking about a nonprofit with the budget, you know, always, you know, thinking about constraints. How can they think big, and how big should they think when it comes to their fundraising events?
You know, you're asking a dangerous person, I think, because I recently listened to a book on tape called the Magic of Thinking Big. I think David Schwartz is the author. And, you know, you only limit yourself by how you limit your thoughts. And I would encourage everybody in the development field to listen to or to read books like The Magic of Thinking Big or The 10X Rule, which basically says whatever your goals are, and this might sound crazy, multiply them by 10 and work 10 times harder to achieve those goals. If you look at any successful, truly successful organization in the nonprofit space, and you trace their success back to how it happened, it was by people who worked their butts off and set goals much higher than they thought they could achieve. So one of the biggest errors, I believe, in the nonprofit space is not thinking big enough. And to answer your question, Ian, I think a good rule is 10 times. So whatever that number is that you're thinking, I would put a zero on the right side of it.
Fantastic. This is just fascinating. It's what a great guest you are, Noah. I'm just curious to know, you've achieved so much for so many great organizations. What are some of your daily disciplines when it comes to personal development and just keeping your head screwed on straight and maintaining this great attitude you have?
You know, Danny, I think one of the most important things is writing down goals. Literally, the practice of using your head and your hand and writing it on a piece of paper is the most important thing. So I personally have very specific goals. One of the biggest mistakes people make in setting goals is they don't think big enough. One of the other mistakes people make is they don't give themselves long enough to achieve them. So I think that's very important. But the number of people that actually write down their goals on a sheet of paper is relatively small. So in order to be successful, it does not have to do with ability. It has to do with passion. I've written so many books about how to succeed in life, and they all say pretty much the same thing. Figure out what you're passionate about, write it down on a sheet of paper, and look at it 5 times a day. And when you believe in it, and when you think about it, and you become obsessed with it in a good way, those things begin to become reality. So the size of your success is only limited by the size of your thinking. And I'll tell you, every brain, the magic of thinking book big says every brain has these two little people in it. Someone that says, it's sort of Mr. Triumph, and the other person is like a Mr. Doubt person. And what you have to do is you have to listen to Mr. Triumph, not Mr. Doubt, because if you truly believe that you can do something, you absolutely can, as cliche as that sounds. And again, setting goals is the most important thing. It's definitely the way I've seen a lot of success in my life is setting very, very big goals.
Well, what a great analogy you share with us from the magic of thinking big. And truly, this is the challenge that we face when we're planning an event. Lots of times, committees are populated with both those. You know, you have the big believers and you have the Debbie Downers. And it creates some real tension and some real conflict lots of times. And it's always amazed me how much power the negative thinkers sitting around that planning table have as far as influencing the outcome of those events. What would you say to that? So when we're dealing with committees, which we're always dealing with all the time when we're planning events, how do you kind of get everybody on side, onto the positive side of the field?
I think making sure your committees, this is simpler said than done, but making sure committees are filled with the positive people who are problem solvers and they're going to figure out how to do it, as opposed to the people who are the Debbie Downers. That's super important. The other piece is, again, like I said, start with the end in mind. And, you know, sometimes committees might be an impediment. So don't do things the way they've always been done just because they've always been done that way. It's a very, very important thing. You know, I read a quote by John Kennedy recently that was talking about conformity. He said something like, conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. And the way I define conformity is following the rules. So basically what that means is that we're never going to grow if we follow the rules. And I'm not talking about doing anything unethical. I'm talking about doing things differently, unlike the way other people are doing them. So don't conform. Find ways of constantly changing and improving and thinking bigger. Because, again, you're only limited by how big you can think.
That's great. Now, I think before we let you go, I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about measuring impact. I know that nonprofits out there, they have their missions and they present their missions at their event, really trying to communicate that to really drive donations. But I've heard you talk before about, how impact is a far greater, measurement of what these nonprofits are doing. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. From a philanthropic perspective, I have a belief. And again, this is about giving money away. In that world, people who give money away oftentimes measure their success by how much money they give away. And I believe that that's a bad metric because the amount of money you give away is pretty much irrelevant. The good or the impact that comes from where that money goes and what it does is the more important metric. So I always say that in sports, you measure success by score. In school, you measure your success by grades. In business, it's very simple to know if you're successful because the metric is profit. But in philanthropy, the true measure of success is impact. And that's something that if you are in the development field, it's a very important thing to be able to point out to donors is specifically what the impact is. Now, it's somewhat subjective because everyone cares about different types of impact. And that's why it's so important to understand your donor, because certain donors will not care about what you think is most important. And it's really important to align with donors. I believe that someone who has a lot of money is not a target donor for you. That is possibly a prerequisite, but what you need to do is to find somebody who aligns with what your organization values. You need those shared values and you need shared priority of impact. So if your organization is focusing on a specific type of impact, you need to find donors that care most about it. Not donors that have lots of money, because that's not all you need. You really, really need to focus on donors that care about what you're trying to solve.
Wow. You have shared so much gold with us here on this particular podcast, Noah. Just to summarize here, if you were to offer, say, three takeaways for our listeners, what might those be?
I always get obsessed with my favorite one of Stephen Covey's Seven Habits, and I've said it a few times already, but start with the end in mind. It's almost like cheating. You get an unfair advantage if you do that, because you can see the world in such a more clear way. So don't look at every donor as the same, and don't use the same talk track to every donor. Start with the end in mind so you know what you want to achieve, and I would say that's number one. The second one is, if you can dream it, you can do it. There's a bunch of ways of saying that, as crazy and cliche as it might sound, however you're thinking right now, it's not big enough. So think bigger and challenge yourself every day. The books that I've mentioned while we've been talking are very valuable. If you've got a long commute, you're in a train or in a car, listen to books on tape and make yourself better. It's a super use of time to listen to these books as a way to challenge yourself. And then I think the number three, the last thing I'd say is make sure that everything you're doing is authentic, because if you're working for a cause you don't really care about, you're doing something you're not really passionate about, it's not worth doing. There are so many opportunities in this world to help people in the nonprofit space, but don't be a faker. Be 100% authentic, because people will be able to sniff you out. If you're working on a cause that you don't really care about, you're not going to be successful, because people can absolutely tell that you don't have the passion. So I would probably say that's number three.
Excellent. Well, you've been just an incredible guest, Noah McMahon. We want to thank you very, very much. The company is Anonymous, based here in Laguna Hills, California. Has produced thousands of events over the years, and you have shared a lot of your great knowledge with us here today. So once again, Noah, thanks very much. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Danny.
This has been another episode of Events with Benefits. Thank you so much for joining us. If you like what you heard on today's episode, please, please rate us wherever you find your podcasts. And be sure to share this with anyone you think it can help. You can find more information about our guest and resources in the show notes at www.eventswithbenefits.com. And please stay tuned for more episodes coming up very, very soon. Thanks all, and we look forward to seeing you next time.